Welcome to Exceedingly Abundant Ministries with Pastor Gary Cole. We are committed to bringing you the good news of the gospel, believing that God wants to make Christians whole in spirit, soul, and body. Visit our website at eaministries.net. Now, here is Pastor Gary with today's teaching.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you. I pray that you're having a joyful, wonderful Lord's Day. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. 2012 has really been pretty good so far, hasn't it? God has been so good to us. We need just to continually praise Him and thank Him for His blessings. Today we're going to be talking about building a legacy. Now, a legacy is something that which we pass down to others. And I want to ask you, what are you passing down? The scripture we'll begin with is in 2 Timothy 1, verse 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in you, in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Be not there therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and life, and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, unto which I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which thou was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwelleth in us. So this is an exciting passage, isn't it? We're seeing Timothy, the legacy that was passed down to him. First of all, he had a grandmother, Lois, that was a born-again believer. Now his mother Eunice is saved, and now that has led to Timothy being saved, and he is a mighty preacher of the gospel. See how important it is? That's why God loves to save at least one member of a household of people that are lost, because now he has an entrance way into that family, because that family member will begin to pray for the other ones, and Holy Spirit will, conviction will come upon them, the revelation of who Jesus is, and they can be born again. And then they can begin a heritage of having a godly generation of people who love Jesus. And remember, it's easier for you to get saved if your family members are Christians, because they're going to pray for you, they're going to take you to church where you hear the good news of the gospel, and that just makes it so much easier to become a believer. Now we're going to be talking about aspects of leaving a great legacy. First of all, let's again establish the foundation. Well, the foundation, of course, is Jesus Christ. Let's go over here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Beginning verse 11, Paul is preaching and to the Corinth and telling them the good news. And he says this in verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built upon it, he will receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. So the foundation of a good legacy is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Remember, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Except you are born again, Jesus said, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. John tells us over in 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son hath not life, which means talking about everlasting life. It means you're not born again, you're not saved, you're not a Christian. Remember, you're not a Christian by being born in a Christian family or even in a nation that is Christian. And again, our nation pretty much has kicked God out. That's why 9/11 happened. The hedge was let down because we as a country, now I'm saying there's many Christians in the country, but as a country, we've been kicking God out of everything. Our schools, businesses, government. And we are one nation under God. And God is a gentleman. You kick him out, he'll go out. But I tell you, then the hedge goes down and evil is able to affect this nation. Remember from the Old Testament, as long as the nation of Israel was serving God, God protected them. Yeah, they had battles, but they only always won. It's only when they got involved in idolatry and sin were the enemies able to defeat them. We as a nation have turned from God. We are one nation under God, and God needs to get back into everything, the schools, the business, the government. It's not freedom from religions, it's freedom of religion. And our forefathers were born-again believers who knew Jesus. So we have got to, as a nation, repent and turn to the Lord Jesus and never be ashamed to pray, to seek his face wherever we're at. So I encourage you. The judgments will grow stronger and stronger. God's trying to get our attention that we will return to him, not just as individuals, but as a nation. So I pray that you and your family have repented from their sins and are serving the Lord and are stirred up and making your voice heard, telling people about Jesus. Yes, Jesus is to be the head of everything, and that means our government. One nation under God, and Jesus Christ is God. Well, you say, I don't even know Jesus is my Savior and Lord. Would you like to? You can pray with me right now and invite him into your heart. And if you mean it with all your heart, Jesus will save you. Here's the prayer. Pray with me. Dear God, I recognize today that I'm a sinner. I understand and believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Wash me in your precious blood. I'm sorry. I turn from my sin now. And Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Please be my Savior and Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. Amen. If you prayed that prayer from your heart, you're a born-again believer. You need to go find a godly church, get in, get baptized with water, get filled with the Holy Spirit, become a disciple of Jesus, and God will show you his will for your life, and you will have a satisfying, and if you walk with the Lord, victorious life in Christ Jesus. Amen. So I rejoice. I pray you gave your heart to the Lord today. So the foundation is Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, just before that, the Bible said Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. So God says, except you come through my son Jesus, you will not make it. In Iran and Iraq, they go to hell without Jesus. in Saudi Arabia, in Mexico, in Canada. No matter where you go, the only name that will save is Jesus Christ. That's why we send missionaries around the world. You're lost without Jesus Christ. Any other God but Jesus is a false god, and literally Satan and his demonic principalities and powers are these people in false religions worshiping. That's the truth. And we need to tell him about Jesus. You know, a lot of those people, their God, quote unquote, demands that they die for him. Well, I tell you, our God died for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God came down from heaven. His name is Jesus. We serve a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the second member of the Godhead, Jesus, came down, became man, lived a sinlessly perfect life, and then went to the cross and made atonement, died for the sins of the whole world. You know, you should never question whether God would forgive you for the terrible sins you've done. I tell you, according to the Bible, he already paid for them 2,000 years ago. It's just a matter of you receiving his forgiveness by faith, repenting, confessing those sins, and saying, Jesus, come into my heart. Live in me. Remember, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is good news. Amen. Really good news. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So the foundation for building a good legacy is Jesus Christ. Secondly, I believe you need to recognize that even though you got saved, remember, he saved you. He chose you. You know, you hear people say all the time, well, I found God. Well, I know what you're talking about. But really, that's not true. God's been chasing you around for years. You just finally turned around and let him catch you and said yes to him. Let me prove that to you. John 15:16, Jesus said this, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Okay? So you are chosen. He chose you. He loves you. Even when you didn't know him, hadn't even been born yet, God loved you. He chose you. He sent his son Jesus to die for you. And when you finally have the sense to realize it, and somebody's prayed for you or shared the gospel, and now you know the truth, you get saved. But remember, he saved us. In fact, that's what it says here, back to our main passage. Who hath saved us and called us. Amen? So we are chosen, and again, that brings us next. It says we have a holy calling. Let's go over here in the book of Jude. Verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, I like that, and then he's set apart, made holy, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Amen. We are called, and the Bible says it was a holy calling. And you remember, once we're born again and we have the life of Jesus, now we begin to walk out that holy calling. Now that we have the Holy Spirit, now that Jesus lives in our heart, now that we know God, now we will begin to walk out holy lives and living. You know, before we got saved, we did a lot of wicked things. Most of us did. Probably all, amen. Let's go over here in 1 Corinthians 6. You know, the Bible's very honest, isn't it? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's go over there just a minute and look at it. Look at a scripture here. We'll start verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that's talking about homosexuals, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you definitely don't want to stop there because you are probably in that list. Okay? Verse 11. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's right. You know, Christians are all confessed sinners. Yes, we've done many wicked things, but we don't live that way any longer. When we come to Jesus, we repent of our sins and follow him. Now, are we still tempted? Can we still mess up? Yes, we do. But God convicts us. He deals with us. Nobody gets by with anything. In fact, now that you're a child of God, the Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You know, the one thing that I knew that was different was not just the joy and peace I had when I got saved and realized like a 500-pound monkey was taken off my back because I was lighter, literally, because my sins have been taken care of. But when I did sin and do the wrong thing, you know, I used to didn't feel too bad until someone caught me. But now that I'm saved and I do something wrong, I'm instantly caught because the Holy Spirit convicts me. And the Lord lets me know, Gary, that was wrong. And then if I'll deal with it, it's taken care of. But, you know, if I don't deal with it, again, consequences will come and God will continue to deal with me until I, again, get rid of that thing in my life that is sinful. So Christians can sin, but they don't get by with anything. God deals with us. Remember, you don't whip somebody else's kids, but you whip your own. God loves us enough to give us a good whipping when we need it. He chastises those whom he loves. You know, that's one of the indications, are you really saved, is not only have you received Christ, but when you sin, does God deal with you? Are you come under conviction of the Holy Spirit? If you're a child of God, you do. So thank God for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that shows us our sin. Amen? So such were some of us. We used to live very unholy lives, right? But now we're born again. Now we have the life of Jesus. We have the power and person of the Holy Spirit. Now we can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can live holy lives. We can practice righteous deeds because we are now empowered by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I like what Peter says over here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Well, let's start verse 14. He says, as obedient children, not fasting yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Boy, that's a good word. But as he who hath called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of life. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Amen. So now we actually, having become holy through the blood of Jesus, being set apart, we can now, because the life of God is in us, do good works, genuine good works, and live out the Christian life. Amen. And there's also the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, the Christian life is a total supernatural life because we should be doing everything we do, receiving the grace of God and be empowered by the Holy Spirit, walking in that abiding intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's chosen us. We have a holy calling. And again, notice verse 9, it says, according to his own purpose. That's the one most wonderful truth in the Bible, that God has purpose for our lives. We are not mistakes. We are not accidents. God has a purpose for every person that comes into the world. Sad to say, he had a wonderful purpose for all those aborted, murdered babies too. But they didn't get to live out their purpose, did they? Abortion is a wicked sin. Abortion is murder. You have murdered your own child. Now, God doesn't hate you for that, but he hates that sin. And if you'll confess it to him as murder and repent, I tell you, the blood of Jesus can cleanse you from all your sins. Otherwise, you will end up with mental illness because deep down in your heart, you know you did the wrong thing. That's the way it is with sin. You can pretend, no, it doesn't bother you. I'm not affected at all. But deep down, you know in your heart you've done the wrong thing. That's why it's a terrible thing that our country acts like it's okay for a woman to murder their own child. We have 4 or 5 babies in our church. Precious, loving, gorgeous, beautiful, sweet babies. That aborted child was that same sweet baby. You just didn't give it an opportunity to live out its life and purpose. What a wicked thing is. America, repent for the sin of abortion. Mother, you have never had the right to murder your child. That's a form of insanity. You would murder the very life that God has placed in your womb. We need to repent as a nation for the sin of abortion. And remember, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's no sin that God won't forgive. And you can go on and live a great life no matter what you've done. But let's not call good evil and evil good. And we've done that as a country. And that's why these judgments are coming upon our land. God is calling America back to her foundation, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I pray that you've come back to the Lord. I pray you are boldly telling people about Jesus and telling what God has to say about the issues in life today. There is right and there is wrong, and there is no confusion about it. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord, and that's the final word about everything. In fact, once you get saved, one of the things that takes place as you read the Bible and God begins to change your understanding and mindset about life and different things, you begin to say, Lord, I used to think this, but Lord, you said this. Lord, I repent. I'm changing my thinking. I'm now going to agree with you and your word about this situation. Amen? That's what the Christian life is. You begin to find out what God says about things, and you come into agreement with him. And again, that allows you to be able to be blessed and to flourish and do well in this life. Remember, it's always right to obey the Lord, and it's always sin to disobey the Lord. I don't care who you can get to agree with you. You know, it's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Literally, the word is murder. Thou shalt not murder. Can you believe we've called one of the Ten Commandments wrong, unacceptable, inconvenient? How wicked. That's why our nation is in the problem it is now. If we'll pray and repent as a nation and seek God's face, we'll see prosperity, we'll see revival, and God will then give us godly leaders. Remember, sad to say, you get what you ask for. And well, I don't need to comment any more on that. You get what you ask for. How's it going? So it's a holy calling, holy living. We have purpose. God has a purpose for every person. And remember what it says over here in Psalms 18:30? As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth us with strength and maketh my way perfect. Amen. Remember, you cannot improve on the plan and purpose of God. It's absolutely the very best thing you can do. So get saved and enter into the purpose of God. And remember, that will have a powerful effect on the legacy that is sent down to your family. Just like the Bible talks about generational curses, there's also generational blessings. Send down blessings to your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids by loving and serving the Lord and living in and out before them the Christian life. Amen. So we have purpose. In North verse 9, it also says grace. Remember, it's all by grace. We are saved by grace through faith. And we serve the Lord by receiving His grace, walking by faith. You know, Paul said, here's the success. 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Remember, grace is also not just unmerited favor that gets you saved. Grace is divine empowerment that enables you and energizes you through the Holy Spirit to be able to live out the Christian life and fulfill the calling and purpose God has for you. It's all by grace. Depend on God, trust on God, and receive His grace. For everything God is asking and calling you to do, He gives grace. Receive it by faith, and you can do, and let's just say this, you can know and do the will of God. Amen? Isn't that exciting? And then our final point here, he was telling young Timothy, you know, the times back then were pretty perilous also. And for some reason, it seemed like Timothy kind of got intimidated by people around him and was backing off from really walking in the spiritual gifts and calling God had for him. And Paul kind of rebukes him a little bit here, doesn't he? And he tells him this, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Remember, fear is a spirit. It's a demonic spirit. That doesn't come from God, but God gives you power, the power of the Holy Spirit, His agape love and a sound mind or self-discipline. So that is so good, isn't it? And he says, don't be ashamed of the Lord. I tell you today, you're being encouraged to be ashamed of Jesus. And, oh, don't talk about Jesus at your job. Don't talk about Jesus at home. Don't talk about Jesus in politics. Yes, you better talk about Jesus. He's God. Okay? Ever blessing, the very breath of life comes from our God. Don't you dare be ashamed of Him. You tell people everywhere who Jesus is, what He's done for you, and encourage them to come to Jesus. Without it, they'll go to hell. They will go straight to hell. They will not pass go and collect $200. You know what I'm talking about? They need Jesus. The only way to a satisfying life in this life and to get to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to build a great legacy, it all begins and ends with Jesus. God bless you. Have a great day.
This broadcast is made possible by our faithful partners in the ministry outreach of Bethel Worship Center in Joplin, Missouri. If you have been blessed by Pastor Gary Culp's teaching and would like to know more about our ministry, feel free to visit our website at eaministries.net. That's eaministries.net.